Just school wasn't going for me. Raised in a single parent home. Needed to be able to kind of relieve mom from some of the stress of having to put food on the table, two kids. My buddy was working as an electrician. I went and applied and ta-da, that happened. I found out really quick that I enjoyed working with my hands. I was really good at it. What I learned was to own a business, you got to have good business acumen. And I didn't have it at that time. I did not have that. So I owned a paycheck is what I tell people. This industry literally changed my life. It changed my life and my future, my family's future. And for that, I feel forever indebted to it. I worked under Jim and his team for a while as a coach and a trainer. And I learned that I was pretty damn good at it. And I learned this from Jim Abrams. He said the number one reason why any business fails is they're not priced properly. So first thing that we're going to do is we're going to check to make sure they're priced correctly. The second reason why a business fails is they don't know how to get the price that they need to charge. Sales and operations are really my thing, man. Like, that really jazzed me up a lot. Like, helping businesses, you know, not just drive revenue, but do it profitably, right? Manage margins and make sure that they're really dialed in on their overhead.
This is To The Point. A Rhino Experience. Voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts. Cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up, To The Point listeners? It's your boy Chris, ready for another exciting episode with another Chris. Not just you, Chad, but another Chris. That's a great name. It was more of a common name, you know, when our guest Chris and I were born, because we're pretty much the same age, yeah. A little older than Chad. Not so much of a common name now. I don't know why. I thought Chris was pretty solid. Like, he can go either way. He can be a boy or a girl name. There's something special about the name Chris, I think. And I know, Chad, you feel the same.
Definitely. There's two of you here. I think it's interesting though, because like all those names come back around. So like, I think about all the boys in my son's daycare class. You've got like Jack, my brother's name and his son Hank, like all of these like old school names that are making a resurgence, which is interesting.
Yeah. Did you meet my friend Dan that I grew up with? It's like one of my best buddies I grew up with, Chad. I can't remember if you met him at, he was at Rhino X this past year. He owns a jewelry studio. Yeah, he had two twins. They're about, I think they're like 5 or 6 years old. Named George and June. Pretty cool. But like old school, little George and June. So, well, listen, okay. I know Chad's got to get out the top of the hour. He's playing Mr. Mom right now. Okay, so we got to make sure he's out on time to go pick up the little Petermans. But we are excited to have our friend Chris Crew, president of Blue Collar Success Group, on the show today, which we just met. This episode airs probably a few months ago. I got to actually meet, I knew of Chris, but never actually met him. And I told him as such when I got to meet him at the conference that Blue Collar Success Group had out here in Phoenix, Glendale, actually. Like I said, a few months ago. So excited to have him on. Just in a short amount of time, he and I got to chat. I saw him presenting on stage, and he was actually presenting. He did like a Q&A with Ryan Kettering from Prolific, which was cool, which is kind of what sparked the conversation a little bit, was that he picked up that there might be something more than me just being supportive of Prolific, which is now you could see a sponsor here on the podcast. But I got to spend some time with him, watched how he communicated to that room full of contractors, which is a great event, dude, by the way. Like, that's the first one I'd been to. I mean, that was a legit deal, man. And it was cool to watch you do your thing. And I didn't get a chance to get with Kenny, but he was kind of bombarded with a bunch of people. And that's usually how the stuff goes. But it's always fun having different coaches on here too, but coaches who kind of been through it, and Chris has been through it and had some success in the industry. And he was just an electrician who learned how to coach other electricians and plumbers and HVAC technicians. And so I'm always excited to have these guys on one, because they usually have a lot to say. But they've also worked with a bunch of different size contractors in today's climate, you know, to experience like what's good, what's bad, like what are things they're dealing with, what are they looking forward to, all that type of stuff. But I don't want to forget a couple of things. Number one, though Chris did not graduate high school. Is that correct, Chris? Did I get that right?
I tell people my experience, I got it in a shorter amount of time. I just got it done in 10 years. So,
oh, oh, Makes total sense. Yes. Got it. So it must have been all those honors classes you were taking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We called those the honors classes for sure.
Oh, the pride of Paulding County High School. Go Patriots.
Yeah.
That's a word we don't like to say around here. Go Colts. Mm. By the way, Cardinals fan. If the Cardinals play the Colts, I choose the Cardinals. So I'm there. So it's clear. So nobody like misunderstands that I'm not a Cardinals fan. But I cheer for the Colts too. Thank God they're in different divisions. Works out good. Mm. So I think I heard you tell me, but I don't know, because I was doing a little bit of research on you, Chris. I was starting to get confused because you've kind of bounced around the U.S. a little bit. Now see if I got this thing right. Do you currently live in Florida?
That's correct. Yep.
Okay, got one right. But you're a Georgia boy. Is that correct?
It is. Yeah. Originally from Northwest Georgia.
Okay. They're 2 for 2. Doing pretty good.
That's it, man. You're batting 1,000% right now.
But Paulding County High School is in Texas.
Oh, no, sir.
Son of a bitch.
No, sir. However, while we're on this, I tell people I'm originally from Paulding County. The town I'm from is from Dallas, Georgia. And I tell people all the time, real Dallas.
God, yeah. I saw Dallas. And I assume, you know what happens when you assume, Chad?
Yeah.
Make an ass
out of you and me. You and
me, son of a bitch. Well, anyhow, and just you know, for the record, for all of our listeners too, I do not have any affiliation with Rhino, with Blue Collar Success Group. So that's not why I brought Chris on here. I legit brought him on here because I was like, dude, he's got some good stuff to share with all of our listeners. I think a lot of ours will resonate with what Chris has to talk about and some of the questions that we have. But I'm excited to have you on, man. And I'm gonna have you just share a little bit of your background. But beforehand, I think what I read was that you started as an electrician, which, by the way, so did I. Fun fact. Not a good one, but I did start as, Chad, stop laughing, motherfucker. You know I was an electrician. Shut your mouth. Okay. Yep. I'm a contractor. Okay.
That pergola says otherwise.
You remember that guy? He's got a good memory. Chris started as an electrician at 16, and then eventually built and sold an electrical service company. And I think it was from, you got it at 3 and took it to 30 or somewhere in that 30 million mark. And it was in 4 or 5 locations or somewhere like that. Am I close, Chris?
Yeah, you're close to that. That's
okay, cool. Maybe why don't you actually tell the story a little bit better, because I don't know if I butchered it or if I was closer or what, but just kind of give the listeners a little bit of your background and then kind of what your job is today. Because I know you were a coach for Blue Collar Success Group before you become president. So maybe just kind of walk us through a little bit of that journey, like the Cliff Notes version of it, and then we'll get into some questions.
Yep. So as you alluded to, 10th grade, just school wasn't going for me. Raised in a single parent home, needed to be able to kind of relieve mom from some of the stress of having to put food on the table. 2 kids. I got out, started working in my hands. My grandfather says, Chris, if you're going to quit school, you got to get a job. You can work forever. I was like, all right, cool. My buddy was working as an electrician. I went and applied and ta-da, that happened. I found out really quick that I enjoyed working with my hands. I was really good at it, mechanically inclined. But that, as crazy as it sounds, it was a new construction company. And as many people know, new construction, I ended up moonlighting, doing side work, service work here and there. And it got to a point to where I couldn't do both. And so early on, I started an electrical business at, I was 20 years old. But what I learned was to own a business, you got to have good business acumen. And I didn't have it at that time. I did not have that. So I owned a paycheck is what I tell people. So fast forward, I went to work for a large contractor in Atlanta, Georgia, which is my hometown. That company would get bought out and then they franchised it. As a part of that franchise, that's how I ended up in Sarasota. They recruited me to come to work for their corporate office. I was very, very fortunate to go to work for somebody that I would consider to be a legend in the industry, and Jim Abrams. Now I got to work for Jim Abrams directly and just met a lot of people. And it was there where I went and kind of got what I call my college degree. Like I worked under Jim and his team for a while as a coach and a trainer. And I learned that I was pretty damn good at it, and moved my way around in corporate. And 2000, 2013, Patrick Kennedy, which is who I worked for in Atlanta, Georgia, who was the original owner of Mr. Sparky, he asked me to come partner with him. And me and another one of his partners would eventually grow that business. We bought Patrick out in 2014. We bought him out, and it was a small electrical company, about $3 million in revenue. And when I sold that, we were on a $30 million run rate. That business today will do $70 million electrical service only. Just fundamental, basic business principles of things that I learned while I was getting my education.
I did not know it was Mr. Sparky. That's an interesting fun fact. So, Rhino is a has a strategic partnership with Authority Brands. So the trade brands, we do lots of a lot of stuff. I have no idea how many at this day, but we have a relationship with Mr. Sparky. We had Aaron Hagen on here before. You know who Aaron is?
Aaron is actually a very, very good friend of mine and also one of our clients as well. So,
oh yeah, great human being.
Yeah, dear friend of mine. Him and Daryl both.
So, it's probably been, I think it was maybe the end of last year. I don't know. Good dude. But his business keeps blowing up too. I think he might be the largest now independent, Sparky, right?
They are the largest independent in the franchise network for sure. And just that guy came from some humble beginnings, man. Golly. Yeah,
he shared like the down and dirty details of that whole thing. It was a great episode.
Yeah.
So then you transition into Blue Collar Success Group in, I think it was 18, right? 2018. Is that when you went into it?
Yes. I sold my shares at the end of 17 and kind of took a 6-month hiatus and was like, all right, I don't know what I'm going to do next, but I'll find something to do. And, Kenny was it's really crazy how the industry works, but I had two separate friends of mine that were friends with Kenny and was like, you guys should meet. And so Kenny was in Tampa one day and I drove up to Tampa. We met and, shot the shit for a little bit. And I was like, all right, cool. Well, it surfaced and he was like, hey man, I don't really know what we can do together, but let's see if we could do something. And so I was like, yeah, man, I don't really need anything to do right now, but hey, I can do some coaching and training for you. And I remembered at that point why I loved doing it. When I got back into it again, after I had left Clockwork and that world where I had coached. And so I was a little bit different where you see contractors today that sell and then become a coach. I was a coach before I owned and operated. So after I operated, then go back to coaching again, which is really been my passion. This industry literally changed my life. It changed my life and my future, my family's future. And for that, I feel forever indebted to it.
What was your strongest, contribution to the business then? Like if you're also coaching, then you must've been super passionate about a thing or a couple of things. I mean, not everybody's good at the entire facet of business, but like, what was your niche? Like what was your thing that you were best at?
Sales and operations are really my thing, right? So going up, didn't even know that sales were a thing for me. I sold door to door cancer insurance at night, right on the side. And I did okay with it, but man, talking to people about dying is not fun. It wasn't fun for me. And so when I went to work for Mr. Sparky, I was able to connect the concept of doing electrical work with selling. And I quickly, was able to hone in on that skill. And then, fast forward to that being the opportunity I had when I was with Clockwork, just really the operational stuff, man, like that really jazzed me up a lot, like helping businesses, not just drive revenue, but do it profitably, right? Manage margins and make sure that they're really dialed in on their overhead.
You don't usually hear somebody say sales and operations combined together as your like skill set.
Yeah.
Usually you're
I don't think they actually like each other. In my experience, they don't jive, not hanging out together.
Yeah. So I'm an anomaly. I get it. I get it.
Well, I appreciate, I have a very good, great appreciation for well-run operated businesses and people who can do them. I also have an appreciation for sales, but I lean in the sales and marketing world. So if I was going to do any coaching, it's going to be in that world, not so much in operations. So let's just fast forward a little bit into your coaching world today. Okay. Cause you're working with a lot of contractors and probably even some that are listening right now. What are the main things now? Well, actually, let me back up a second. How many coaches do you guys have at Blue Collar Success Group today?
We have,
how many?
Six today.
Okay, six. So, I'm sure that they all they're all coaching all facets of the business. Are some like geared towards one's operations, one's marketing, one's finance, one's, you know, sales, whatever. When you're coaching, like, or even now with all your other, with all the other coaches, what are the main hiccups that you see these contractors are running into today? Like that you guys are hearing, is it, you know, lead volume is slow. Is it, we're having a hard time with recruit? Like, what are the things that you're hearing are the biggest pain points for the contract or the members in your group?
By now, you've probably heard how much of a proponent I am for BlueOn, but I'm not the only one. When you talk to service managers using BlueOn, the stories all sound very familiar. Nick Christensen over at Herbal Heating says his team saved 46 hours in just the first month. Between the parts lookup, wiring diagrams, and AI troubleshooting, his techs are solving issues faster and ordering the right part the first time. It's even streamlined communications between the techs and the parts department. They just screenshot over the right part from BlueOn and send it over. It's simple, it's accurate, and it works. And yeah, Peterman Brothers is definitely seeing that impact too. Do yourself a favor, click the link in the description and book a quick demo to see it in action.
That has changed and evolved a little bit. We're now getting into where, some markets, not all of them, some of the work is slowing down, right? And I would equate that to, you know, go all the way back to 2020, and 2020 made operators believe that they were good salespeople and marketers, and it kind of lulled them to sleep. And so, ta-da, here we are. I mean, like, and I tell people, if you would have cut, say, December to January, December of 2019 and cut it off, and then cut all the way out to, you know, the beginning of 25 and smash those two together, not really much changed. Not a lot changed with marketing. What happened is people got led to believe that they were better at it than they were because it was easy. And so, yeah, we do see quite a bit of that today where, you know, I heard people say things like, oh, we just turned off marketing. And I was like, God, that's the kiss of death, man. Don't turn it off. I was like, redirect funds, like do something. Don't just stop. So we do see that. The next thing that we really see people struggle with is the actual organization of the operation, like making it run the way it's supposed to run. Because most operators, once again, don't come with the operational experience of running a big business. And so sometimes the business grows beyond their capacity.
Yep. Well then, I love to thank you for the plug on not stopping marketing. I agree. Yeah. that was not scripted to the listeners. Just so you know, that was all organic. I appreciate you, Chris. I mean, listen, there's listeners of all shapes and sizes here. Now, would you, and what is like a, what's a range on size of businesses that are members in your guys' group?
So let me answer the question, the caveat. So we are not a one size fits all, meaning that it's just one membership. So a lot of your other best practices group, it's just one level of membership. What we recognize is a smaller operator can't afford the coaching that a $30 million business needs, and the tools and training that a $30 million business needs is not the same as a one truck operator. So we do work with various sizes. Our real sweet spot is that $5 to $12 million. That's kind of our sweet spot of operators and businesses. We've got, you know, we work with companies that are private equity and very large, you know, $100 million plus dollar businesses, all the way down to people that are, you know, still trying to get figured out how to get the second truck added. So I know it's probably not the best what people will say, man, you really got to focus on one thing. But it goes back to we're trying to help people. So our business model is a progression model. So once you grow to a certain level, hey, you need to unlock additional tools and resources and coaching and training that take your business to the next level. So we grow with them. They never outgrow us.
Chris, in that sweet spot of what you said, $5 to $12 million dollar contractors, so I'm a $10 million contractor and I come to you, and my guess is that there's, it's pretty predictive of what you need to work on. What mm-hmm. do you typically see like those contractors? Like there's the, what I think I need to be doing. And then there's the, well, this is really what you need to be doing. What are those, this is what you really need to be doing type things that they may not be thinking about that you guys are like, hey, we could unlock a lot of growth and efficiency and all of that stuff there?
That's a great question, Chad. What we typically find, and I'm going to back up and answer the question a little bit more methodically. When people come to us, the very first thing that we do is we make no assumptions. You're a $30 million business. We make no assumptions of how you got there. So we do a process where we go back. Very first thing that we know, and I learned this from Jim Abrams. He said the number one reason why any business fails is they're not priced properly. So first thing that we're going to do is we're going to check to make sure they're priced correctly. Number one, Jim Abrams taught me the second thing. He said the second reason why a business fails is they don't know how to get the price that they need to charge. And that goes back to, all right, cool. So you don't really have a good selling system in place. And selling systems are more than just technicians at closing tables. It's more than, you know, a kitchen table sales. For me, a selling system is the culture of the business. Like it's how we operate. And I also am very careful to say this. We don't believe and teach people that the idea is the truck backs up to the door like a dump truck and you hit the eject button and sell as much shit as you can. It goes back to what's the full experience that your client is asking for, right? How do we really become a premier provider in the marketplace? And then once we get that dialed in, now we can start working on the number one problem that we see with every contractor that comes in the door, really bad gross margin, not a strong gross margin. So we go to work on material and equipment and field labor. It goes from comp plans that are just terrible to not really understanding how to source and mark up material correctly. And so we take a little bit of a different approach. We're going to check the box, make sure you know how to do this so that we don't have to revisit lesson 3 when we're at lesson 15. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the number one thing we see, not priced correctly. Number two, not good at selling. And that includes the phones too, like how they answer the phone, the dispatching systems, because as the business grows, it's eventually going to outgrow the person who got it off the ground, the owner. And for me, that's a good feeling when I'm like, this thing runs without me. I think that's the entrepreneur's dream. Build a business that runs itself.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I think that the advice that I've given is, and agree with all those things. The advice that I've given is you want to get to a point to where it runs by itself and you're able to go back in and validate that it's actually running the way that it should be. Because I feel like so many entrepreneurs are like, yeah, man, this thing runs. I'm going on vacation, doing all that. Like the minute they say that is the minute that I get scared. Like, hold on a second. Like, I get it. You gave them the keys. You've got the SOPs, all of this stuff. But are you holding them accountable? What's the saying? Trust but verify, or inspect what you expect. That is a lesson I have learned. I feel like I never have learned it yet. I just keep going back to crap. I forgot to do that again. I think those are the couple of things and the people that I talk to and they're like, hey, I got a problem or hey, can you help me out? Where would you start? It's all on the nuts and bolts. And I think that especially in today's day and age, you can get caught up in all of the shiny objects that are out there that are just supposed to be the magic bullet. And all of a sudden, I'm going to go from 5 million to 50 next year because I've got some widget that supposedly does something. This business hasn't changed. There's tools that are nice that make things more efficient and you can do more, but there isn't a whole lot that's changed.
My guess is your listeners know another legend in the industry. It's a dear friend of mine, Alan O'Neill.
Of course, Abacus.
Alan, it's so funny. I love him. I love him to death. He's such a great human being. I was listening to him talk to another manager. He was talking to one of his managers, and we were having a conversation. He said, here's the one thing I can tell you. When the business isn't operating correctly, I guarantee you there's a basic that's not being done. Guarantee you it's a basic that's not getting done. And he said, the challenge is people think when businesses get really big that the basics don't matter anymore. the basics are boring. And so, you know, sometimes people are looking for the next shiny thing, but it goes back to what you said, Chad. It's like, if I'm an owner of a three truck operation today, I'm assuming that what I taught them to do in the field is being done. I still got to inspect that. When I'm a $30 million business, I still got to inspect the same stuff. And how you inspect it might be a little bit different at $30 million versus a three truck operation. But the concept doesn't change. And I think that's where a lot of entrepreneurs get lulled into sleep, is to believe like, hey, this thing's growing, it's printing cash. But then I always ask the question, like, what if the key person that's running this business quits? What do you do?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, so I mean, here's a great example. So every single morning at 9 a.m., we have almost 500 people running around here at 11 different locations. And every single morning, my call center manager sends me the booking rate from yesterday, because I know that that is the key. I want to see that sucker every single day. And it's amazing. The minute that I started asking for that is the minute it started getting better every single day, just getting better and better and better and better. But yeah, it just goes all back. It's so base, all of these basics, we get lost in the shuffle so often.
Well, Chad, that's interesting that you say that. Even, you know, when me and my partner were growing the business, we grew at a very rapid pace. And some people would say growing fast is messy. But I say if you've got a good plan and you work the plan, it's not messy. So one of the things that we knew was, as we were growing, trust but verify. So to this point, I'm going to get all my reports. And then I taught all managers to do this because I did it. Said, here's the deal. I'm going to do a sampling, which means I'm going to go in and randomly listen to a call. If it sounds exactly like it was supposed to sound, I don't dig any further. If it doesn't sound good, you can guarantee I'm going to dig in a little bit deeper, because I'm trying to find, for me, I'm not trying to find how do we get to the 90%. I'm trying to find the 10% that we're not good on. And I always told them, like, what's the chances that I stumble across a needle in a haystack? Or I review a call on the board and I'm just going to go look at it. And I'm going to notice that, you know, Chris didn't follow our sales process. Well, how in the hell did Chris not follow the sales process? And then I'm going to go back and look at Chris's calls from yesterday. Well, he's not following the sales process again, but yet we're growing and we're profitable. Like, how do we improve the business? It's those little, because I've heard it said before, small hinges swing large doors. And so in a business, once it gets scale, start trying to find the small hinges, because small hinges can make such a massive difference in the business.
I've never heard that analogy before. Small hinges. What was it? Small hinges?
Small hinges swing large doors. I think there was a book that was written on it.
Well, that's probably part of my problem.
Figured it out.
Bingo.
Don't. Okay. So actually, let me take a step back real quick. What was the time frame it took you to get from that 30 to 3 minutes, since you're referencing growing it fast?
Yeah, we went from really, I mean, we took that thing over in 13. And one of the reasons why we bought Patrick out, I mean, that guy was filthy, stinking rich at the time. Yeah. He's passed on now, and he left an amazing legacy. That man was amazing, but he was kind of content, and me and my partner were still young and trying to be aggressive to do what he had done, and he throttled us back a lot. So we were like, we got to get him out of the way, right? So that was the whole, we got to buy him out. So really that transition happened around the end of 13, and then I sold at the end of 17. So we went from, you know, $3 million to a run rate of 30 in, you know, three and a half years.
That's pretty cool. Hell of a job. And electrical?
All electrical service.
Oh, all electrical service, man. Oh, and I was a franchise. Awesome. I was also paying my fees.
I felt the pain in that statement.
Yeah, in saying that. Yeah.
I believed in that brand. That brand, even after I sold, I was still emotionally attached. I had to take a hiatus from the brand. Like, I didn't have anything to do with it. I still got my trophies from when I was in the field selling. I got all kinds of memorabilia of that brand. It means a lot to me. Yeah. And every penny that I paid them was worth it.
Yeah. I mean, well, and you probably had a nice exit from that. So,
yeah.
Are you a Cameron Kerr, by the way?
I happen to know that guy. I sure do. Another Canadian friend of mine.
Figured you probably would.
Yes. So
for our seasonal folks, in the HVAC world, it's summertime. So hopefully everybody is rocking and rolling and busy. And this podcast comes out, I believe it's probably going to be in early July, somewhere around there ish. Maybe June, July. Anyway, whatever, it's summer. So it should be busy. Now, I think I read, your stance on this, but in regards to, like training and employee development for you, this isn't a seasonal thing. Like, you're an advocate for year round, you know, training and development and things like that. So when it's busy like that, you're not thinking, oh no, we're busy, let's just keep running. You're saying, hey man, we don't just train when it's a shoulder season. We're also training when it's in the busy season. Did I read that right? In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, Housecall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads. Capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
Well, let's put that to professional athletes for a minute, right? So they do train in the off season to maintain, but they kind of take some time off in off season or slow season, right? They take some time off. When really training starts to ramp up, when they're about to start playing the game for money and when the stakes are on the line. And so I tell people all the time, you're missing the biggest opportunity because retention rates are not as high. If I train in the fall for things that we're not going to do until the winter. In the fall, I train on fall stuff. In the winter, I train on winter stuff. In the summer, I train on summer stuff, right? We got to make sure because what happens is when volume goes up, what do you think happens? I got plenty of calls and every salesperson knows this. So if they're at the kitchen table, it's not as easy. I'm like, I'll just run the next one. I'm not like, why would I fight this? I'll just go run the next one. But in the fall, we're like, every call matters. So what happens is I'm more meticulous about following the process when things are slow or in the spring when things are slow. Now, do I train on the exact same stuff? No. In the summertime, I'm going to be training on the stuff that makes us who we are, that allows me to have high tickets in the summertime. For example, you know, and I see this all the time. HVAC contractors don't really want to do duct work and insulation till when? Slow season. But I'm like, you're in the home in the summer. Even if you sell it now and let them know that you're scheduling for a couple of months out for that, that's fine, right? I'm a get it done kind of guy. I'm not a proponent to sell it and put it off. My rule of thumb is don't let more than 24 hours go by without something being done that the job gets locked in. Example, generators. We sold a lot of generators, and it's a 8 to 12 week process to get a generator done. The day that we sold it, the next day we dropped the equipment off, set the pad, and everything was there. Mount the switch gear, even though we can't really quote work on it. I got to get that job going, and that goes back to, you know, summertime. What is it I'm training on? I'm going to be training on all the smokescreen stuff, all the objection handling stuff in the summertime. I gotta, you know, cause you know, every company around town right now is trying to price it cheap just to get it done. And I'm like, in the summertime, most people try to maximize revenue by selling cheap. And I'm like, in the summertime, it's the best time to make the best margins, right? It's it's good to play when you're playing from ahead.
Yeah. Is there a frequency to it? Like, are you, is this like a weekly thing that you're doing?
Oh, or? Hell to the, we're training every week. Now, am I going to bring everybody in? And I do believe in segmenting your training as well. So making sure that the topic that I cover is applicable to the people that are in the room. Right. So I might, if I run a company with selling techs versus straight advisors, I may be having a little bit of a different conversation. So if, and this goes back to, you know, Chad, we talk about this operationally. I need a training plan that I can follow. So I don't have to just like, oh shit, you know, we need to train. Like, this is the regular cadence every day, every time. I might change and shift if I say, hey, I'm noticing right now that, you know, close rates are going down, and it's not just, you know, my tech leads. It's also, I've got my salespeople and advisors. I'm probably going to bring them both in. We're going to talk about close rates and like, what are the tactics of why we're not getting there? I mean, are we getting a soft commitment on the front end? Are we following the steps? And I'm on a lot of skill practice. You guys might call that role play, but a lot of that, because what I teach, what they've proven is retention rates are much higher if I can apply it immediately. That's why I'm a big fan, Chris, of training in the summertime. Like, no better time to train this. Like, I can learn it right now, and the calls I go run today, I'll use it right now. And so retention rate goes up. So therefore, you get better, more bang for the buck in the summertime than you do the slower times.
Dude, you see him perk up a little bit when I asked that question, Jeff?
Sorry about that. Yeah, some people might consider it pissed off. I just consider it passionate.
Well, no, I mean, it makes perfect sense. And I mean, you know, I think that I wrote that down. Make training mirror an athletic schedule. Train on the thing that you're doing today. Because how often have we ran a training and it's like, well, we're just preparing for summer and it's 50 degrees outside. It's like, well, they're never going to see it. Like, what's our application going to be like in 4 weeks? Hopefully they remember that really powerful training session that we had. That's going to be awesome. I think we always like, hey, just again, to your point, do all the stuff in the off season that you don't want to do because you're going to be busy. Well, like, what's to stop you from having a 30-minute training before you go to your first call? And that may be super impactful and help you raise, well, the calls are there. You need to be training. So no, I got plenty of notes. I appreciate it. This is awesome.
And think about even huddles, man. Like, how powerful is a huddle? And don't overlook the fact that a formal training, like, it's no different than, you know, we're playing a football game or we're playing a basketball game. It's like, hey, we're down 3 points. We got to call a timeout right now. I need to know what play we're running right now. And so when it's hot, reminding everybody of like, hey, do this. Don't forget this. Make sure you take care of this. And it's that good reminder, right? I'm going to say this. This industry asks a lot of frontline people. We ask a lot of them. Learn how to be a finance expert. Learn how to be a salesperson. Learn how to be a technical person. Learn how to, and this, you know, not everybody remembers everything. So it's like we've got to be that constant reminder for them of the things that matter, Chad. Like that's what you're writing down is, let's talk about what matters, not just what we think we need to talk about.
Yeah. And I love role playing because I think it does, as much as everybody hates it and people probably try and ask, you know, you questions just to keep you talking. So they get to do less role playing. but it's such a good tool because it's uncomfortable, but it actually puts you in a real life scenario. It's never going to be harder when you're talking to the person who has the answer, right? When you're role playing with the person that has the answer, but it's so impactful. I always hated doing that whenever I was in sales before I started this, but it did make me better. And we would do. So this is, have you ever heard of the movie Glengarry Glen Ross, Chris?
Oh yeah.
It's old school sales.
Oh yeah.
Way older than Chad, you will know. So that is, coffees for closers. If anybody's listening, never heard of it, just look it up and thank me later. Especially in your sales organization, but you can't show it to your sales organization because you'll get in trouble for it. But
yeah, it's not PC, I guess you would say, right? Not
PC. But that's kind of like, you know, it was before I started this company, I worked for another company and it was, you came in, I hated Sundays because Monday was the next day and I knew I had to do all this stuff. And it was, you came in Monday, 7 a.m., 7:30, maybe if you're doing good on your numbers. And all you do is pick up the phone and set your appointments for the week, Friday back. And then you'd stay till 7 p.m. that night. And so what it did is from 5, maybe 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., you would just do straight sales training. Straight sales training. Hated it. And I was like, if I just get really, really, really good at sales, they're never going to ask me to stay for sales training. They might ask me to give some sales training, but I'll never have to do it again. And that's actually not how that worked at all. They still made me stay for sales training. But even as good as I was, I still feel like I learned shit in each one of those things. Or, you know, I remember like, oh, damn, I've been trained on this twice before. I just forgot about it. And then this just reminded me that I could do X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. So even as good of a salesperson as I was still continuing to learn shit because of the role-playing situation. But I don't think it's changed. I think that's probably been a shitty thing for a lot of salespeople for a long time.
I'll mention this. Typically, it's because the facilitator sucks. That's why when you have a really good facilitator that makes things engaging, that makes things applicable, that, you know, when I realize that I'm getting an opportunity to improve the quality of my life, even if I am good, right? And that goes back to what we had. I mean, if you've got really high-powered salespeople in a room with entry-level salespeople and you're trying to teach basic fundamental stuff, and that's where it's like you got to teach on the level of the people that are in the room and make it engaging, make it fun. Like, training doesn't have to suck, man. Like, working out in the gym doesn't suck, but getting there does. Like, the process of getting to the gym sucks, but once you're in the gym, hey, you're good. Well, the same thing is with training inside of a service business. It's early mornings. They're usually not, and you got, you know, people that are propping their eyes open. So how do you make it to where people want to be there? Right. And so it goes back to, I can always tell if the trainer is prepared or not.
Yeah. My facilitator was a total dick. So that probably was part of it.
Well, there you go. I figured that one out, didn't I?
But I would double down on Chris's comment about the segmented training. We do some longer trainings where it may be, you know, a day or two, but our most successful ones are these micro trainings. Where, like, if we're going to teach financing, I'm not going to teach it to every tech that I have. Like, some of my maintenance techs, they're not going to need to use financing, nor is that what they should be worried about. But I may take my top performers and we may do some finance training because they're the ones presenting the big tickets. And you're so right in that we get so much more engagement when the content is directed at them. And I don't even care if you have five techs. You've got two that are really good and you got three that just need to know the basics. Like, meet with just those two and go over some of these more advanced topics. I think the other thing it does is you start to set them apart, because I feel like sometimes when you put them in a room and you teach them the basics, you like don't respect their talent. Whereas like when you bring these high performers in, it's like, hey, you're in this high performer class. Obviously not everybody's here because we think you are the best of the best and we want to treat you some more advanced topics and like the things that you actually want to know. And then again, you don't have the guys falling asleep that are the, you know, more novice that I've never done a financing application. I just tune up furnaces. Like, that's what I'm here for. Now, one day you may get there, but today is not that day. I just think that that's such a powerful topic that I don't want people to gloss over as far as segmenting that training.
Well, and this is a great point that you make as well, because when you really break it down, what is it? They're sitting in a room and they're giving a part of their life to you because you told them to. And so if they don't feel it's applicable, they don't feel like it's improving them, they don't really want to be there, it's a waste of their time and a waste of your time. You're not really going to get through to them. And so really understanding the needs of the audience, right? Understanding the people that are in the room. To your point, Chad, when we first launched our safety advisor program, I had two. I can't teach safety advisor tactics to the entire company. I just can't, right? Because those people, it's going to be so high level, it's not even going to land with them. And then they're going to walk out and be like, well, that was a waste of time. And then the salespeople are going to be like, well, that was great for me. But if I had to teach on everybody else's level, they're going to say, God, that was so basic today. I didn't really learn anything. So that's where, you know, segmenting things out. And as the business gets larger, that becomes easier. It's hard to do Absolutely. It when you're a small business. And I always say this all the time. You'll never become a big business until you start doing what big businesses do. Simply put.
Yeah, that's good. I want to just do a small little segue, but still kind of on this training piece or and it's mostly going to be around like the new tools, the new technology, AI, things like this. And you're having to like train on this stuff, I'm assuming, at least at some level, or at least helping them to understand how to actually integrate whatever the hell it is that they've chosen. If they've chosen 500 things, maybe they need to slim it down to like two and actually implement the two things instead of trying all of them. But I mean, because this is still new to really you, any coaching group, any business, because there's so many new options today. And Chad and I talk a lot about shiny objects, because there are so many options, but you know, a lot of the contractors are kind of half-ass integrating them, right? So they're not really getting the value out of the tool that they've chosen. And then they'll move on to another one without having figured out the first one. Mm. But are you noticing that's also some sort of, or at least your coaches are noticing, hey, this is another thing that keeps popping up is, hey, we bought the tool, we got the thing, but it's not actually working. And you're like, oh yeah, it's because, well, let's look and see how you're actually like, how are you using it? And have you integrated it properly? Are you dealing with stuff like this? Attention to the point, listeners. Branding has never been more important. Is your brand in serious need of an upgrade? Do you have a new company and need a new brand, but don't want to wait 6 months or pay a ridiculous amount to get it done? If your brand looks like everyone else's, well, guess what? You are everyone else. But Prolific, they build brands that dominate. From the first Google search to the driveway, Prolific brand design can help you be more of you, because you are the unique difference that sets you apart from all your competitors. So let's be real for a second. Your brand is either winning you customers or costing you money. Just ask some of our clients like Ken Goodrich, Ishmael Valdez, my boy Chad Peterman, and even myself. Prolific brand design is the creative pros behind some of the best home services logos, truck wraps, websites, and now email marketing campaigns. Wouldn't you love it if your email marketing open rates were 30, 40, 50% and don't go into the spam folder hell? That's how we roll at Prolific. So check them out at prolificbranddesign.com and ask for the To The Point promo, Prolific Brand Design. Be more of you. Be prolific.
Yeah, and I'm going to use one. I know that they sponsor the show, and so which is funny. I was actually just on with Contractor Commerce this morning. I did an interview with them. They're great people as well.
Were you on there with Paul? Who was it, with Paul?
Oh yeah, with Paul Redmond. Yeah, I was on. Okay. Great shout dude.
Yep, buddy of mine.
So let's go back to Rilla for a minute, right? So Rilla is a perfect example of poor implementation, bad result. So if I'm going to implement Rilla, I've got to make sure that, number one, that my sales process is built into it, right? Like the actual sales process. And we hear all the time, you know, people come to Rilla and they're like, well, we can't really do anything until you get your sales process, which I'm just blown away at. The contractor's like, well, we don't really have one of those. I'm like, oh, you do. You just don't know you do, because if you've got 30 techs, you've got 30 sales processes, right? If you've got 10 techs, you've got 10 sales processes. You've got one, whether intentionally or not. So, you know, I start with that, which is, you know, build the foundation of the technology and then answer the question, what's in it for them? Forget what the business is going to do. Forget the customer. Forget all that. You're going to hit a sore subject for me, because most people are like, you know, we're in the customer service industry. So like, yeah, well, let me just tell you, if the difference between that technician paying his rent and the customer, I can promise you they're going to pay the rent. They're not going to do the customer the solid, right? Like, it's just natural reaction. So living in this world to believe that our people are going to put our customers at the top of their list, we're lying to ourselves. I got to win first, but I want to be able to win in equal proportion to the customer. In other words, if my comp plan says, well, when you do the right thing for the customer, you take a pay cut. That don't make sense to me, man, at all. So Rilla, if I implement Rilla and go, hey, this is going to be a great way where we can train you, it's going to be this thing that listens to your calls and grades you. Oh, shit. So now you're following me on all my calls. Why? So if you position it correctly and answer the question, what's in it for me? You're going to get a lot further, right? Because now the adoption rate is much higher. The all in is going to be much higher, right? So it's not just that I'm doing it, I'm doing it all the way. So, hey, we use Rilla, but yeah, all right, cool. So let's say it's in place. I got my sales system in place and I'm doing it, but I haven't taught my managers how to use Rilla as a tool. It's just in software, if not. Just like any other software would be. It's just another software. If we don't train the how to use it, but more importantly, you got to start with why. Why are we doing this? And if it's all about the company, the adoption rate's not going to be high. You've got to first ask the question, how does the team member win first? How does the customer win second? And then how does the company win third? And I've always lived that way because I came from the customer's always first. And I'm like, well, that might be true in certain situations, but I can promise you if it comes down to me getting paid or the customer doing work, I'm going to get paid. Within moral and ethics rules and guidelines, I'm not saying, you know, sell stuff to make false claims about stuff, but you know, somebody said this once, you can customer service yourself right out of business.
That's right.
If you customer service yourself so high that you customer service at the example or at the expense of the team member, you're losing. So when we see this, you know, concept of, hey, I signed up, and I don't know if you guys are familiar, there's another AI platform out there, blow your freaking mind. You guys familiar with Peak Z? Okay. All right. Well, so Pawan is who owns Peak Z startup, but he's the guy that actually started Pulse M. So if you know that little story, so they do this crazy analysis where I've been really paying attention. I know this will be really near and dear to your heart as well, Chris, but they said SEO is dead. But then they caveat it because it's no longer search engine optimization. It's search engine. It's search everywhere optimization. Yes. Everywhere. Yeah. It's like, so now it's your video, it's your social media, it's your stuff. And so Peak Z basically takes in all your information about your business. I've seen the demo of this and I know customers that are using it. I can pick 3 to 4 to 5 to 6. I can pick as many competitors in my market that I want right now. And the sediment stuff that's out there about that company, because it's, if it's on the internet, it's found, right? So they pull it in and they're able to compare you to your competitor. But more importantly, it's now being used as a recruiting tool because now online reviews, well, those are searchable as well. And when I've got customers mentioning technicians' names and all this stuff, I mean, we live in a very, and by the way, if you're afraid of privacy standards, then you shouldn't even have a phone. Right. You shouldn't have a computer if you're afraid of privacy standards. The reality is information's on the internet. And this is another prime example. I signed up with Peak Z because they do help you with understanding your marketing. They understand with recruiting. They understand with acquisitions. And you can really find out information about other companies in a market. Right. Not just yours, but about others and compare yourself. If you don't implement that correctly, all you do is you just found out information. Right. Like, what are you going to do with it? What's the plan? What's the motive behind it? Right. So that is one of the things that we work with contractors to answer the question. Pick any kind of new software, whether it be AI, anything at all. Right. And example, contractor commerce. If you don't set it up correctly, it won't work. Right. If you don't do the hard work, it won't work for you. So for us, it's more of, what's your goal and objective? Why did you even sign up for this? Why did you start doing this? That's the number one thing. What problem were you trying to solve, or what opportunity were you trying to take advantage of? Okay, cool. That's a good point of reference. And we use that to leverage in our coaching now. You know, Chris, you said you wanted this. You said you wanted to do that. Has something changed? Because if it has, I mean, it's sales 101, right? It's just communication. We got to understand what they're wanting, and then how do we help them get it?
Pretty straightforward.
Sometimes they don't need the shiny object. I'll just say that. You need to go focus on your close rate in the call center.
The blocking and tackling. Yeah, 100%. Well, for the sake of chat, because I know you got to get going, buddy, here pretty soon. I want to say I'm bummed because there was another question I really wanted to get to, but I didn't. And it was around AI agents versus human beings. But we don't have time for it. So you're going to have to just
cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger. But hey,
do we have a minute? Just 1 minute?
Yeah, you're the one that I'm trying to hurry for. So if you have a minute, then sure.
Well, Chris, I hate to do this at the end of the episode. Chris was trying to prepare you before this episode, trying to give you all the pointers. This is how it's going to go. There'll be an intro. This will be our talk. The one thing that my partner here was remiss to say is that he has been on this kick since beginning of the year, where he is just so proud, just so damn proud of these dad jokes that he tells. and he forgot them. And even though he shows them to me, he forgot them. So I did a little Google search, and I will be providing a dad joke here at the end so that we can keep consistency throughout this show. It's while embarrassed, I'm happy to lend a helping hand. And what I'm going to do is, I'm going to give a dad joke. It doesn't have a punchline. It's just a running joke. Okay. I'm not good at selling these, but it kind of goes along with the trades. I gave my handyman a to-do list, but he only did jobs 1, 3, and 5. Turns out he only does odd jobs.
Odd jobs.
Yeah. There we go.
Heck yeah.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, Chad Peterman, you'll be here all week.
Watch out. Multi-talented here. Holy got jokes shit. Now.
Next time we're going to have Chad either doing a little karaoke or dancing. That's next, right, Chad?
Maybe. That'll be next episode.
That was good enough. I mean, I think he could at least get a stand-up act going out of it.
Sure.
Yeah, dude, I actually did miss my dad jokes, and I had some good ones prepared. So, Chris, sorry you missed out on those. But, Chad, that was pretty solid, dude. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, I was waiting for that in the prep session before we started recording. But I was like, hey, this is my opportunity to be a helping hand.
I'm very proud of you. So, Chris, that was a real treat, dude. You just that was a first experience. Just Chad telling his first dad joke. See, he hated it in the beginning, and now he loves it so much so he brought his name to the table. Well, listen, Chris, we appreciate you giving us the time and hanging out with us for a bit. The time flew by, which sucks because like I said, I would really love to have talked about the AI agents versus human beings. I have a pretty strong thoughts on all of that. But we appreciate you coming on here too and just sharing with everybody. And is there anybody that wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to contact you, Chris?
Our website, thebluecollarsuccessgroup.com.
Cool. We'll share it in the notes and to make it easy. And then obviously if any of the listeners want to reach out to us and you want me to connect you with Chris, I'm happy to make the connection as well. And you share a lot of things on here too. And sometimes it's just as simple as, hey, maybe you just need to focus on the blocking and tackling, or hey, maybe you just need to focus on, doing some sales training, even, if it's specific to the sales training you need in that particular season. Like maybe that's the basics you need to do in a, it's actually the first time I think we've ever talked about something like that, Chad, that I can remember, where we talked about doing actual seasonal training in the season that it's in.
Absolutely.
Had that conversation.
Makes a lot of sense, right? We overlooked the obvious.
Maybe you, listener, that's what you need to focus on, is do some fucking seasonal training, man. It's summertime. All right. Yeah. You got a lot of at bats right now. So just keep refining that sales process. Chris, I appreciate you coming on here, brother.
Man, it was an absolute pleasure, Chris and Chad. It was a pleasure to meet you guys today and have some time here in the studio. So thank you all for the invite and the opportunity.
Yeah, man, it was our pleasure. And to our listeners, you don't got to do everything, but you got to do something. No 0 days.